medicines shortage is what we're hearing this morning. 212 medicines unavailable, up 25 from last month, including over-the-counter, respiratory, serious illness and other treatments. 40% of the medicines currently out of stock found to have just one supplier, and 11 medicines are listed on the World Health Organization's critical medicines list. It's increasingly clear that Ireland is an outlier when compared to neighbouring countries, says an industry experts in relation to that. And that is the concern, that is the report, particularly at a time when so many people are under pressure and under the cosh from the huge amount of flu and RSV and other ailments that are going around the place. 212 medicines currently unavailable, some of them our most commonest medicines over the counter. Jack Shannon is community pharmacist in Castle Island. Jack, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us in the programme this morning.
Good morning, Jerry, and welcome back after your break.
Thanks very much. Jack, listen, what is the situation like? Look, first of all, how busy are things? Very, I'd imagine.
Well, do you know, Jerry, I was just listening to what you were talking about there a minute ago, and you were talking about start me up, and in this case, it's a case of just don't start me off.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's being honest with you, it is crazy in relation to drug shortages, and no different to any other part of the health care system at the moment. Community pharmacy has been under enormous pressure, particularly in the last few weeks with all these respiratory things that have been going around. And obviously you had that, I suppose this all started really with that strep A scare that caused huge pressure on GPs and from that on to pharmacists in relation to antibiotics. The end result, I suppose, is that we are seeing a continuation and a much bigger role of just drug shortages. Drug shortages have been part of pharmacy life for years, but obviously COVID has made things a lot worse, and particularly in the last a month or so, there have been huge shortages of absolutely critical medicines. So that report that you're referring to there was talking about, you know, kind of essential medicines. I mean, one of the medicines that we're looking at is a thing called amoxicillin, which is perhaps
well known,
you know, the bog standard antibiotic that would be used to treat so many different things, whether it's chest infections, dental infections, or whatever. And we're in a situation where, there are, I can't say that there's not a complete, sometimes there are complete shortages, but certainly it is becoming increasingly difficult to get any supplies from anywhere. And that's the big issue.
Is the issue, is it part of the issue the fact that these are in so much demand in so many other countries across Europe right now?
That's part of it, but it's only a very small part of it, because we actually have unique things in Ireland that really causes problems. And again, it goes back to, we're seeing the same stories over and over again of just poor management from the Department of Health and the HSE. The reality is there's actually nobody in charge. I mean, in theory, the HPRA, which is the Health Product Regulatory Authority, are in charge of kind of, we'll say, the regulation of medicines and in Ireland. But when it comes down to availability, they have a role, but they don't seem to have a role that they can actually use and, you know, make any useful enforcement decisions. They can show us a list of drugs that they have been told is short. I mean, I can tell them that list is utterly out of date and completely useless to any community pharmacist in the country who can see a list that's probably three or four times longer than what they're going to show me.
Right.
So part of it is that there's no structural ability to deal with drug shortages. And then there are kind of the minor things that, you know, Ireland, unfortunately, is still a peripheral country from an EU point of view. An awful lot of the medicines that we traditionally have sourced have come from the UK. So Brexit is, well, no matter what anybody will tell you, it is part of the problem, because, you know, frequently we will see, particularly with kind of minor suppliers, that, you know, Ireland is just regarded as, you know, kind of a part of the UK distribution system. And so, you know, we're very much down the pecking order in relation to supplies. But yeah, there is, I mean, part of it is just huge demand. But, you know, and it's not just, I mean, for the antibiotics that we're looking at the moment, and not just antibiotics, but things like cough bottles, eye treatments. You know, there's a whole host of things that, that are causing problems, even down to, you know, an area that I would have a particular interest in, you know, palliative care medicines. It can be quite difficult to secure some palliative care medicines now at the moment because, again, the supply chain is completely messed up. You know, so these are all issues. And I suppose, you know, I mean, solutions then is what you're looking at,
yeah,
in relation to how do you fix these things. So part of it, obviously, is substitution. So frequently, you know, something goes short, there may be something that's a kind of a direct replacement, and that's no biggie. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing every day anyway. But where you get particularly issues is say, for instance, I mean, a big one now we just had recently is just antibiotic eye drops. It's quite difficult to get any type of antibiotic eye drop at the moment. And so, you know, we get in a prescription for an antibiotic eye drop. You know, I have two choices. Either I just tell the patient, sorry, can't get it, or obviously, which is what I'm not going to do, I'm going to say, I will have to get on to the GP and see, will they try and give you something else? So I, part of just a kind of a simple thing, you know, in this day and age is that, you know, we should be empowered to actually decide, you know, if we can't get X antibiotic eye drop, we should be able to give Y antibiotic eye drop. Very simple thing. Could be done with the stroke of a ministerial pen. And, you know, and they have done other things when COVID came in, you know, that they have been seen to act,
yeah,
quickly when they want to. So I think there's an element of a lack of political will there. And I think they're kind of maybe getting snowed under with a lot of the kind of the major headline stuff in relation to hospital stuff, that they're just not paying attention to kind of the things that could make life easier for a lot of people.
The nuts and bolts. Well, we have one listener, Jack, here. Brita says, I'm on the news, it said a lot of medicines can't be got at the moment. Why is this? Is it to do with Brexit? I was on a painkiller for my pain in my back due to wear and tear. I have osteoarthritis. I cannot get my painkiller Tramake at the moment, the last 3 months, so I'm on a generic version. A lot of medicines now are generic based and, in my opinion, not as good as the proper ones. I cannot get my Difene spray either. It was off prescription for months and then it came back. Now it's gone again. What's going on? Breed asking, I suppose, all the, yeah, questions, okay, there in that one comment.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, two things there. Number one is I think Tramec has actually gone off the market altogether. And number two, Tramec is actually a generic. It's just a branded generic, which,
sure,
is, you know, where a company took a generic product and they just put their own brand name on it. Tramadol has been, which is the active ingredient in that, has been on and off short for quite a while. Again, this is a global supply chain issue. I think most of the raw ingredient for Tramadol comes from China, and there has just been a consistent problem with that for well over a year now at this stage. So it's just one of those things. But there are plenty of other painkillers available that, you know, and sometimes it is a case of trying to find something that maybe, you know, obviously she doesn't find the other generics appropriate for her or suitable for her, but, you know, maybe just keep trying something that, yeah, may suit her eventually.
Is it a question, Jack, of the issue being, and you mentioned the HPRA there, which regulates the medicines that come into the country, that there's no one organisation or agency or entity responsible for coordinating the supply of these medicines and making sure there's enough in the country, like either the HSE or the Department of Health, or is that the part of the problem?
No, there isn't. You know, I mean, the old story, I mean, who do I ring up if I want to find out how to solve the problem of drug shortages in Ireland? You know, the Department of Health will kick the bucket to the HSE, the HSE will kick the bucket to the HPRA, the HPRA will say that
there, we're just regulators, no, we're problem, not in charge of ordering it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's all this kind of, you know, circular stuff going on. It's like yes minister all over again. And the, you know, the reality is on the ground, again, it comes down to, it's patients in the end of the day are the people that are going to, you know, be suffering or be sometimes just inconvenienced by, you know, trying to, the likes of that poor lady that was ringing you there, Brita, you know, in relation to what she's looking for. You know, I mean, that's the reality is, you know, it does, you know, it does affect people on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And the, you know, and there are solutions that will help some of it. I'm not saying they're going to help all of it, but, you know, I mean, as I said, going back to, you know, in relation to the eye drops, I mean, one of the things that, you know, as a pharmacist we're looking at is that, you know, at the moment, if somebody comes in to me with conjunctivitis, I used to have something I could reach for, which isn't available. And so I could quite happily, I'm a well experienced pharmacist, I know what conjunctivitis looks like, I'd be well aware of the kind of the issues surrounding it.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there's no reason why I couldn't do what every other pharmacist in every other country in the world could do, which is to give an antibiotic eye drop. But I can't, because, and so my job there is to tell them to contact the GP who is snowed under,
yeah,
and ask them to prescribe an antibiotic for that patient. It's ridiculous in this day and age.
Doesn't make any sense. Way more efficiently should be done. Look, Jack, mindy, one of the issues being reported this morning is the HC is paying lower prices to manufacturers for some old drugs compared to other countries. It means Ireland's at a competitive disadvantage when there is a global shortage. Is that part of the problem? No, I also remember a time when Ireland was paying way over the odds for medications, that was a problem too.
This is something that's been going on for years. I mean, for the last kind of 7 or 8 years, there have been what's called reference pricing going on, which means that the HSE has been driving down the cost of, I suppose, older medicines, particularly that have gone off patent. So the end result is quite a lot of those are utterly unavailable. So, I mean, to give you an example, there's a hydrocortisone cream, which is a kind of a very simple, straightforward cream that would be used to treat kind of minor, you know, eczema and dermatitis and that sort of stuff. The one that's available on the medical card, love nor money, because the HSE dropped the price down so low that the manufacturer just stopped bringing it into the country. We'll be told that there's all sorts of manufacturing issues and whatever, but we've seen that across a whole host of things where the costs have become, the reimbursement price is so low that the manufacturer just stops bringing it in anymore. It's not worth their while. And what a more serious thing is happening then is, instead of the original licensed one being available, the manufacturers, our sister companies, are bringing in much more expensive so-called alternatives. So, for instance, even in relation to something like that cream, where, you know, the cream will be available, but at four times the price, and obviously the HSE won't pay for it.
The
patient is stuck with paying for something.
It's snookered. Okay.
So,
all right.
Absolutely.
A lot of work to be done, it sounds like, Jack, to get this problem.
There is a lot of work to be done.
Will things ease as we go through a peak, shall we say, the illnesses we have?
You know, I mean, I would safely say a third of our day is spent chasing up drug shortages of one form or another. It's a huge, you know, just a sucker of time. But, you know, but we are finding solutions, and every pharmacy is in the same boat. You know, it's a rare situation indeed where somebody will be left without a medication, you know, because that's what we do.
Finally,
you
know, Jack, one caller asked, is it okay to reuse eye drops and ointments that have been opened?
Depending on what it is, not a good idea, because most eye drops and ointments have they tend to pick up things like molds and things like that when they've been open too long. So most of them should be dumped after a month, and they really should never be used by a second person. So if one person in the family has used it for a particular infection, there's no guarantee that the second person has the same infection. So all you might do is just spread another infection onto a second person.
Not
a good idea as a rule.
Okay, Jack, thanks so much for talking to us about that. That's Jack Shanahan there with us on the line from Castle Island, a community pharmacist in Castle Island, talking about the current shortages that they're finding, about one third of their day taken up trying to find alternatives to medicines that are not available, that were available previously.